Welcome to the Insight Through Experience podcast, a podcast created to provide information about what life is like inside the most specialized special tactics organization in the U.S. Air Force. In these episodes, we'll be bringing you the experiences from many of our experts, ranging from our human performance optimization staff, our combat mission supporters, as well as our special warfare operators. Our main objective with these podcasts are to provide the listener with a unique look inside our culture of excellence. Now sit back, relax, take some notes, prepare to hear from some of the Air Force's finest. Thank you for joining us on the Insight Through Experience podcast. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. This week's going to be kind of cool. I just had the idea the other day that I should kind of take the last five episodes that were the candidates answering questions as they move through the operator selection process. Should dig through there and find out the big chunk takeaways. So I re-listened to all of them. I took notes and I've necked all of them down to five big takeaways. Doesn't mean you should not go back and listen because I'm not covering everything that the guys said. There are so many little golden nuggets throughout those five episodes. But for this one, I'm just going to focus on the five biggest things that I could pull from their tips and advice to give you as the audience. Now, who's this going to be beneficial for? Obviously, for folks that are going to come up to selection in future years, these are going to be a gold mine. But also for if you're entering a service, the Marines, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, doesn't matter, and you're about to go through their basic or boot camp, these are going to be some golden nuggets as well, because some of these things will apply directly to you and the experience you're going to have. And if you take some of this advice, it will help you out immeasurably. If you're a business leader or just somebody on the outside of the military listening to these things and trying to find some advice that you can pull into your civilian context, some of these lessons learned will also apply to you, I promise. All right, so let's kick it off. So these are the five biggest takeaways that I pulled from the last five episodes of the guys going through A&S and answering questions daily. All right, the first one, maybe the biggest one, officers, open up your ears because this is huge. But this is also huge for anybody in a planning environment anywhere. Don't forget the freaking basics that got you here. No matter what type of problem you're tasked to solve, the team needs good structure, guidance, and intent. And then you as the leader, get the hell out of the way. I'm going to say that again. The team needs good structure, guidance, and intent, and then get the hell out of their way. The team is full of the problem solvers. The officer, the leader, they're in charge of getting things underway, making sure everybody is crystal clear in what success looks like in their intent. They're going to at least establish some left and right lateral limits, but as broad as they can, and then they're going to step back and let the magic happen. Doesn't mean they don't step back in when needed or do progress checks. Obviously, they should, but the first thing they should do after everybody is clear on what they should do is get the hell out of the way and let the problem solver solve the problem. Some of the suggestions the guys gave in the podcast is just get a lot of reps at basic planning before you show up at selection. We're talking TLPs and MDMP. That should be just second nature to you by the time you get here. If you have that to where that's already second nature, then you're not wasting time looking in your checklist and everything else. You already know what steps you should be accomplishing and where. And maybe before you come to selection, just have somebody at work create a novel problem for you. Something that's totally not focused on work. Could be something they pulled from the news. Could be something they just made up, could be an issue they're having with their car or something else. And then it forces you to say, okay, this is weird. This doesn't really fit my TLP or MDMP structure because it's not focused on military things. You're going to quickly realize those two processes still work in almost any environment. And the last thing I'm going to ask you as a leader, as you're practicing this, is what do you do when I don't let you use TLPs or MDMP? How are you also going to format a way forward for your team? If I pull you out of your comfort zone, how are you still going to create a structure, a format, and still get your intent out there in a way that makes sense that isn't necessarily just TLPs and MDMP? Now, unless the guys don't think that was just for the officers, because once they turn it over, you, as the enlisted force, have to understand the process, have to understand how you're going to get from A to B to those good solutions inside that structure the officer's laying out. And one final thought before we move off of problem solving. We're going to task you and ask you to solve novel things, come up with novel solutions to problems that you probably never tackled before when you get here. However, you have to keep in mind that your solutions can't be some wazoo things that would just take some immense amount of manpower or resources. You as the leader have to be able to balance reality with novelty, and that's an art. You might not get it right 100% of the time when you're here, but we want to see you go through the process of, okay, that sounds really cool, but not realistic, and pull the team back onto azimuth. And all the enlisted folks that are doing the problem solving, you probably need to have a red cell team member somewhere assigned, somebody who's shooting holes in the plan as the plan starts getting developed, or as those solutions start getting developed. That will also help keep you on azimuth. All right, big takeaway number two, and we started hearing this around day three on the podcast, and we heard it carrying on through day four and day five. Sleep deprivation will be a huge obstacle during operator selection. So what you need to do before you ever step foot here is learn how sleep deprivation is going to affect you personally, so you understand certain strategies you can employ during selection to help overcome some of those obstacles that it's going to put in your way. Some things that I would personally do if I was coming up to operator selection, knowing that I was going to be sleep deprived somewhere through the process, I would first read about sleep deprivation somewhere. I go to some solid, credible source and just read, hey, what are the basic things that it's going to do to my mind, my body? How's it going to affect general processes? We can pull all that from research. You can read articles to summarize all of that, and you don't have to do much deep thinking other than just read the article. I would also go to the cognitive performance manual that our sports psych has hung on the website for you specifically. You people coming to selection, he did that manual for you. So there are a lot of tips and techniques that we'll talk about here in a little while that you could use to help overcome some of these sleep-deprived states. Building good habits is one of those things. I'd also suggest looking at nutrition and hydration. We have a document hung on the website that talks about that in depth. Our nutritionist hung that on there. But also, how can nutrition and hydration also help at least maintain your performance while you're getting more and more sleep deprived? These are just tools that will be available to you that you can use and employ. And if you figure out how to do that successfully before you get here, it's going to make some of those decisions just secondhand nature, and you don't have to think about it, and you're eating and drinking appropriately without really even having to think about it. You probably heard some other guys talked about, hey, I didn't drink enough. I really wasn't eating correctly. Man, they threw so many different and bigger obstacles in their path that they didn't have to because they were making decisions or not making good decisions in that sleep-deprived state. So figuring that out before you get here will be a huge benefit for each of you. All right, so we already talked about it, but big takeaway number three, start using the cognitive performance manual on the website starting months before you hope to attend selection. So if you were putting in an application for our April selection right now, currently it is the second day of February 2024, you should have already started using the cognitive performance manual and already be into phase one or phase two. If you are thinking about coming this fall, the fall of 2024, I would start using that manual now. It doesn't hurt. If you get all the way through it before then, you can start going back through it from the beginning again. This document is so freaking amazing that I think it should be like a mandatory item that starts at the beginning of the pipeline for AvSpec War. And I would argue this really, if you look at SOCOM forces, it should be something that all the SOCOM pipelines are using as to establish a mental foundation for everybody. It's amazing how good we are at building our physical capacity, but we really suck at building our mental capacity. If you're out there doing mental training every day, then you are the exception, not the rule, I promise you. So I would argue, and just asking hundreds of candidates as they've come through here in the past, if you could rate selection on 100, you got 100% scale, how much of that is mental and how much of that is physical? It usually evens out somewhere around 75% mental, 25% physical. And then I ask, all right, look back at your training. How much did you spend on physical and how much did you spend on mental? And that usually evens out to anywhere from 80 to 90% physical and 10 to 20% mental. That does not make any sense. So the guy who runs the process is telling you right now, download that cognitive performance manual months out before you plan on coming to selection, go through all the phases, use it to your advantage. You should be using tools like this in your everyday life, not just for coming up to something like a special operations selection. So things the manual is going to cover, and it's amazing, but it has five phases, and all phases really are just to increase your mental performance. And honestly, it's focused on selection and to help you during OTC if you get picked up and you move on and you come here and get to go through training. So some of the five phases, they focus on building high-performance habits, mastering attention, using your nervous system to your favor, understanding your strengths and weaknesses, and sustaining high levels of performance. That's what it's focused on. All right, big takeaway number four, understand your values and develop a strong why statement before you get here. If you've come to the pipeline recently, you may have done a little bit of this early on, maybe before you went to ANS. If you heard me speak down at the prep course, you would have heard me say that you need a strong why before you move into a process like ANS, or even if you're going to the TACP pipeline and you're about to enter the different phases there. And maybe your next question is, well, how do I do that? Why does that matter? The cognitive performance manual that I keep foot stomping walks you through how to do this. It walks you through a little value exercise, and it helps you develop the why behind why you're coming to ANS. Use it. So I'm telling you, folks, the process here is meant to incite some dark times in your mind. And as those demons start appearing, and yes, I use the word demons because that's what it feels like sometimes, the best tool that you can wield in those moments is a strong why statement that's bolstered by what you value in life. So I won't sit here and belabor the point much longer, but just know if you don't have a firm understanding of why you're going through the pain of what you're going through, it's going to be a lot easier to not only quit. Yep, we do have guys quit during our process. We don't take pride in it. I hate it when it happens. I wish people would not decide to stop moving forward. But it's also going to keep you moving forward more effectively. So instead of slowing down and kind of throwing yourself a pity party, if you can pull out that why statement really quick, you can give yourself a little shot of motivation and energy by just reminding yourself what you're doing all of this for. You might be doing it for your family. You might be doing it so you're in the right position later on to help somebody on their worst day. Whatever that why statement focuses on, bringing it out in those tough moments is going to do nothing but help you move forward more effectively. And the fifth and final big takeaway that I pulled from those episodes and that I would suggest just from the guy who runs the process is get better at solving novel problems. Not problems like a nine-line cast scenario or using the March algorithm in a medical scenario. You will get zero chances to show us your AFSC skills here. And if you look at it from our perspective, it makes total sense. We know we have a history, a written history, a documented history that you have at least achieved some level of competence and confidence in your AFSC primary duties. We know that already. So that's why we don't spend any energy of trying to see those again and again, because we have the record already. What we're trying to do is see who you are underneath the hood that drove you to be able to learn fast, to adapt fast in those training environments, in those moments where it was hard and you had to adapt. We want to present you with problems that are going to force you outside of your comfort zone, where you have to think, you have to adapt, you have to learn, take feedback, think again, adapt again, and keep moving forward. That's what OTC is going to be like. That's what life every day up at our unit is like. So that's what we're going to confront you with during ANS. Now, how do you get better at this before you get here? Go listen to the Problem Solving Pack podcast we put out as a starting point. Now, there's some high-level stuff in there and some low-level stuff in there, but it'll at least get you understanding what we're meaning, what your brain does when you try to solve a problem. It instantly tries to go to its comfort zone. It's streetlight, if you will. Now, you'll hear the candidates say that in a couple of episodes. It's trying to keep you inside your comfort zone. Folks, you will not do well here if you do not push outside that streetlight. If you do not push yourself outside of your comfort zone, you will not do well during selection, and you won't grow as much as you should. And to me, that's even more important. The next thing, read some of the suggested books on the website. When you pull up our attribute document on the website, each of our five attributes, problem solving, communication, interpersonal effectiveness, stress tolerance, and drive, under each one of those attributes, I put some books that will really help you understand more about those attributes so you can perform better and understand them at a deeper level before you get here. Search out and listen to podcasts by experts in their fields. And by the way, I've said it about 100 times already, I'm going to say it again, the Cognitive Performance Manual gives you suggestions on a lot of these podcasts. Try listening to some podcasts when you're lifting weights or whatever you're doing for your workout today, especially on those long rucks. Instead of listening to music, listen to something that's going to expand your mind and help you when you get here. The other thing I'd push you on before you get here is practice thinking about things from both your perspective and an opposing perspective. Often in our lives, we get really firm in our beliefs and we stop being able to process what the other side is thinking. If you can get delivered a problem and see all sides of the problem, obviously your solution is going to be more creative. You're going to be more open-minded and you will probably do much better at some of the problem-solving events that we have here. Finally, maybe one of the hardest things, find something you hold a firm belief about. We often think about politics or religion here. I'm okay with either one of those as long as you can do this professionally. But take the opposing view and argue from that viewpoint. Crazy things that we hear every day, all the chaos surrounding views on abortion, on religion, on the border, all these things that are in our milieu right now, take one of those things that you're firmly passionate about. And I want you to spend time thinking about the opposing view. Put yourself in the shoes of the other people on the other side and learn to argue from their point of view. Actually, oftentimes when we do this, we'll see one or two things that they believe that we're like, yeah, that isn't that far-fetched. I could really see why they believe that. In doing so, I'm not asking you to change your beliefs or your values. I'm asking you to be able to see the problem from all sides. And if you can bring that mindset into selection with you, you're going to find so much more success and so much more ease at finding novel solutions, creative solutions that are considering all aspects of the problem. And here's a hint, by the way, if you learn to do this in your work environment every day, you're also going to be able to do the same things there. All right, y'all. So those were the big five takeaways that I pulled from their comments. And again, there are dozens of more golden nuggets inside those podcasts. So please go back and listen to each one. If there was a runner-up involved in one that I would like to push out there myself, and a couple of the guys mentioned this as obstacles that they were facing moving through, is footwear and foot care. Let me throw it out there now. You will be doing a lot of movement on pavement. So understanding what footwear best suits you for that environment. Imagine having a 60, 70-pound rucksack on. You're going to be moving hours and hours and hours on pavement. Imagine the conditions. It might be cold, might be raining, might be warm, might be humid. You never know. You need footwear and maybe insoles that will support you during that movement for a couple of days. If you can figure that out before you get here, that's going to take one less obstacle out of your way, one less mental distraction that you got to deal with, and you can keep moving forward even in that sleep-deprived state. And maybe an honorable mention, and I usually don't mention getting in shape and getting physically ready for these processes a lot on the podcast because most guys do that intuitively. Most guys need a nudge to do the mental side of the prep, but we still have guys show up here physically underprepared. And all that does is just keep throwing obstacles in their path as selection progresses and it gets more physically difficult. They're having to fight their body to get through just simple movements, where the guys who showed up prepared, that's being done instinctively, and they're able to focus more of their energy on problem solving and all the other mental aspects. And for all of you at units with strength coaches, most of your strength coaches have experience at prepping guys to come here, and I'm sure they received feedback when the guys came back. So they probably have a really good idea on how to prep you to come to this process. On top of that, I would take them, I would print off the 724 STG suggested workout plan. I would hand it to them and just say, hey, this is kind of what I'm looking for. I just want you to help me adapt this to me with what you know about me. We all have strengths and weaknesses. They can look at that plan. They can develop ways to bring up your weaknesses and keep developing your strengths and also not injure you during the process. And they'll also be masters at tapering you at the right time as selection nears. All right, y'all. I appreciate everybody, as always, tuning into the Insight Through Experience podcast. If you got questions, head over to YouTube, our channel on YouTube. After you subscribe and leave a thumbs up for the video, please go down to the comment section and leave a question. Any question. Could be about anything from the past or anything you have a question on about the organization or the process, and I will answer what I can. All right. Hope y'all have a great day. Thanks again for tuning into the Insight Through Experience podcast.